What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. I wanted to remind you all before we get into today's podcast that our bonus content, our draft guides, all of our rankings, and our tools to help you dominate your fantasy league are all available via the season pass on flockfantasy.com. Using promo code FSE, you will get the season pass for $34, not per month, for the whole season from now until January 1st when your fantasy season is over. And a reminder, you can get our draft guides for free by using promo code FSE on Underdog Fantasy. Make your first play. Within 24 hours, it'll be in your email inbox. I am praying that my league mates are not watching this video because over 1 million of you guys the last 3 years have watched this video. We won dozens of titles because I am a degenerate sicko who lives and breathes fantasy football 365 days a year. You guys don't have to be like me. You could just show up once a year for this video and win your fantasy football championships. Before we get into this, I need you guys to do two things for me. I am exposing exactly what I plan to do, and all of my league mates are watching this right now, so do not let that be in vain. Leave a like, subscribe. We're going to 100K this year. Join us on that mission. Hype the video if you enjoy, and leave a comment down below. I personally answer every comment this video gets every single year. And a reminder, the final edition of our draft guide is live right now. Everything you guys need to dominate your league, and you can get it for free by signing up on Underdog, link down below in the pinned comment, or you can go to flockfantasy.com and get the season pass. So in this video, I'm breaking down my exact league strategy by position, a strategy that I have dubbed the full house this year for you poker players, and what players and areas of the board at each position I am targeting. And finally, closing out this video, we're going to do a PPR mock draft with the exact league settings of my home league, which I've done for the last couple of years, where I made the championship last season. Unfortunately, I did come up short in the championship game, but good news here, we are picking first overall this year, so that is where we're going to be doing the mock from. So let's start with the running back position, because this is the basis for all fantasy strategy in fantasy football. This is why I'm calling this strategy the full house. The running back position is back, fellas and fellettes. The full house strategy is three running backs, two wide receivers through the first five rounds of your fantasy drafts, a three of a kind and a two of a kind in poker if you guys play. League winners come at running back. It's no doubt in anybody's mind that the best way to win your fantasy league is to have league winning running backs. Since 2017, per fantasy points, they have dominated the other fantasy positions, 38.7% of the total league winners coming at the running back position. The easiest way to do this is getting value over replacement running back studs like Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, Gibbs, Achane, and Cook. Those guys were irreplaceable in fantasy last year, and a big reason why Sal won the Flock League is because he had both Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor. Especially with teams running so many multiple tight end sets, so many two-eye safety looks, it has increased the value of top-end running backs and decreased the value of high-end wide receivers. Running back draft picks can carry you to a fantasy title, but ultimately the goal here is to hit on the right running backs. We are trying to find the guys that will be league winners, not just drafting running backs for the sake of drafting them. In the video I did a few days ago, I detailed which running backs I'm looking to anchor my team with. So it's not about fading running backs. It's about giving yourselves the best chance, the most educated swings, combining their micro player take, offense, quarterback, offensive line stuff with their best archetype of the league winners that often happen. So on the screen, you guys can see breakout candidates, trusty veterans, running backs in their prime. Per this data, the best chance you have to hit on an early round running back is to draft the most fruitful archetype of running backs in their prime. They returned on ADP the most, they boomed the most, and they got injured the least. Breakout candidates were good also, but they were a bit riskier, so make sure you're getting a discount on them or make sure you absolutely love them if you draft them. 41% on the far right-hand column of all top 20 selected running backs hit. That is only 8 running backs out of 20. You have a 3-in-5 chance of being disappointed with your early round running back. 17% of these running backs got injured, 19% of them busted, 21% of them were silent killers, just fine. You draft them RB5, they finish RB11, but you were disappointed. So we understand the risks, but we have a strategy to find the great options, and I'm going to tell you about it right now. Again, if you simplify this chart, crushed, hit, and missed, running backs in their prime are the best archetype for all of those factors. And what if I told you it is easier than ever to execute this strategy? Because of dumbasses like myself who've been talking down running backs for years, running backs have become cheaper and cheaper in fantasy than they ever have been. Percentage of players drafted in each round to become league winners. You guys can see that on the screen. In the first five rounds, running back outperforms wide receiver over the last eight NFL seasons in every single round at finding league winners. And in the first four to five rounds of ADP, we can target the guys with the archetypes we're looking for very easily. On the screen, you can see the guys highlighted in green are the running backs in their prime. Gibbs, Bijan, Cook, Achan, Chase Brown, Walker, Brees, Kyron, and Javonte. The yellow breakout candidates are good if you love them. The trusty veterans in blue are good if you like them as well. But generally, the running backs in their prime are the safest archetypes. To take that a step further, and let's actually factor in their volume and their situational-based factors, we want for our running backs, guys who have target upside, good O-lines, good quarterbacks, good offenses, etc. I detailed that in the league-winning running back video, a TLDR version, and the heat map that I created. I really hope at this point my league mates have turned off the video because I'm about to say exactly which running backs I'm targeting. You guys can see that the guys in purple, Gibbs, Bijan, Cook, and Chase Brown are my biggest targets in fantasy football drafts this year. Whether you're picking early in the first round or late in the first round, you can get those guys. Then Christian McCaffrey, Jeanty, Hampton, Walker, and Achan all scored very solid in the first two rounds. They are secondary targets of mine. Brees, Kyron, and Javonte are all excellent bets as well because they're third round running backs, which has been a really high rate of league winners the last couple of years. Beware of the trusty veterans unless you absolutely love everything else about them. Christian McCaffrey has an elite ceiling, so I'm willing to bet on him. But Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and Travis Etienne are generally my fades at the running back position early in drafts. In the top 50 of ADP, it is so crucial to take running backs and wide receivers with the full house strategy. And in the last three NFL seasons, as you guys can see on the screen, the first 50 picks of average draft position, so about the first four and a half rounds of ADP, have hit at an above average win rate at running back higher than at wide receiver. 50.98% of the running backs have hit, 40.2% of the wide receivers have hit since 2023. That was not the case 5 years ago. In 2015 through 2022, the wide receivers outperformed the running backs in the early rounds by 16%. 50% of the wide receivers hitting, 34% of the running backs hitting. That has since flipped. The last 3 years, the running backs have outperformed them by 11%, with 51% of the running backs hitting, 40.2% of the wide receivers hitting. And the reason I expect this to continue into this year is because in 2020 through 2022, way more running backs were going off the board in the first 50 picks versus what's happening in ADP now. So what I'm arguing here is that the ADP has not adjusted enough to this recent trend. The last 3 years, just 17 running backs were off the board by pick 50. In 2020 to 2022, 24 running backs were off the board by pick 50. It's simple math, fellas. There's 32 NFL teams, which means that if you're taking RBs 20 through 24 off the board, you're drafting some of the worst starting running backs in the league in the first 50 picks of your fantasy draft. Versus if you're getting the best 17 running backs off the board, you're getting average to above average league starters in the same area of the board you were having to pay up before. So again, we want to be drafting running backs because they're coming at a discount. But here are the rules that still apply. The TLDR version is that running backs do still have a high chance of getting injured. Last year, only 1.45 average games missed from the top 20 selected running backs. That is an outlier, fellas. That'll probably regress itself back to the 2.86 average games missed that running backs traditionally miss in the early round running backs. Another thing that's flying on the radar for me is in 2025, the running back dead zone was back. 28% of the running backs hit out of the dead zone versus 50 and 57% the years before that. And wide receivers, 60% of them hit out of the dead zone. The dead zone reared its ugly head. So as much as I love the profiles of Judkins, Tootin, Henderson, Price, and Scadaboo, some of those young running backs going in that range, don't get too over your skis on those guys. They're still dead zone running backs by the definition of rounds 4 through 7. So it's probably best to fade the profiles you have multiple questions about. Guys like Scadaboo, Judkins, and Bucky are my favorite targets in there because of the guys that are going in the dead zone, they've at least been top 24 running backs before, and they're still in years 2 through 5 of their careers. But Tootin, Henderson, and Price are risky because they haven't been top 24 running backs before. Montgomery and Swift, Stevenson, those guys are risky because they are trusty veteran archetypes. League-winning running backs typically come years 1 through 4 of their NFL career. But here's a simple formula to tell you if you should be drafting a running back in rounds 4, 5, 6, or 7. If this is a running back that is a young running back in years 1 to 4, has PPR target upside, is a proven talent that's already shown it in fantasy, not just efficiency, but proven volume commanding ability as well. And you give them bonus points if they have the other factors, like they're on a good team, they have a good O-line, they have a good coach, poor backfield competition, and so on. So that's the strategy for me at running back. And of course, all of this data is going to culminate into my rankings, my projections, our top 200 for overall drafts, our risk ratings, and so much more that's available to win in our draft guide. And you guys can get it for free by signing up on Underdog using code FSE. You hit the link down below in the pinned comment. You deposit a minimum of $10. You enter a contest, $3, $5 contest. Make a play on the site. And within 24 hours, you will get an email from Underdog with emailed access to the draft guide. If you already have an Underdog account, you've taken advantage of this in years past, you can tell a friend about Underdog and have them forward you the email, or you can get it with the season pass over on flockfantasy.com. $34 for the entire season. Now into the wide receiver strategy. As you guys can see, percentage of players drafted in each round to become league winners, wide receivers are very strong in rounds 1 and 2, but then they taper off for the rest of the rounds 3 through 10 area. And you really can't get a good league winning wide receiver outside of the first 9 rounds. So that's generally going to be the basis of my wide receiver strategy, is that they generally hit better than running backs in rounds 7 to 10, but you also get a big advantage by drafting running backs in round 3, 4, and 5, specifically if you're looking for league winners. And my strategy this year of adopting that full house approach is largely because I can get wide receiver depth later. I can find an anchor or two wide receivers, say I draft one in rounds 2 and 3, but running backs rounds 1, 4, and 5, I can get my wide receivers round 6, 7, 8, and 9, where the league winner rates are higher than at running back. The average games missed of wide receivers, conversely, has run very cold the last 2 years. Over the last 2 seasons, 4.1 and 2.7 average games missed are like running back injury rates. These are horrible, horrible, unpredictable outlier seasons for the wide receiver position, and I think they will bounce back, at least from a health standpoint. Through the first 8 rounds at wide receiver, you always want to be wary of how many wide receivers you can reasonably start every week. And in PPR leagues, generally, you're going to want to play a wide receiver in your flex unless you hit on a value over replacement running back in that position. So if you're in a 2 wide receiver, 2 flex league like myself, then you're going to want 4 or 5 wide receivers before the end of round 8, taking an equal amount of shots on running backs, maybe deviating for a onesie if it's there, tight end or quarterback. But I'll talk about that in a second. Picking the right wide receivers to target, the basis of wide receiver scoring is primarily talent driven. So if you're going to take the right wide receivers to target, the best thing you can do is look for guys who've been productive before, who are in years 2 through 5 of their career, according to Ryan Heath's charts here. Linked in the description of this video is the wide receiver version of the running back study that I talked about already. The definitions of the 4 archetypes are listed above me: breakout candidates, trusty veterans, prime wide receiver 1s, and prime wide receiver 2s. And as you can see, it's a very similar concept here. Prime wide receiver 1s are the archetypes we want for the highest return on ADP, the lowest injury rate, the lowest bust rate, and the highest boom rate. Picking 29-plus-year-old veterans had increased injury risk and lowest boom rates, so be wary of those guys. Breakout candidates and prime wide receiver 2s busted the most. Because they're unproven, they could also pay off big, though, if you hit on them. But what about if we remove the top-end wide receivers? Because this data is a little bit skewed by the fact that the prime wide receiver 1s go very high in fantasy drafts. And if you're like me, sometimes you get to round 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and all the receivers start to blend together. So let's talk about the wide receiver clump. The guys going wide receiver 13 through 36 since 2020. The same principles held up. Prime wide receiver 1s, if you can find them there, are the best picks on the board. Breakout candidates and prime wide receiver 2s have very high ceilings, but they do tend to miss a little bit more than prime wide receiver 1s. And trusty veterans became the least appealing option by every measure. If they're going later and later at ADP and they're in their 30s and have a lot of concerns, you probably shouldn't draft them. In the league winning wide receiver video, I broke down which wide receivers have the best volume, best situational factors, and the archetypes highlighted, as you can see. This created a heat map of the wide receivers we're targeting. And again, hopefully my league mates are not watching at this point. Anyone in green, and particularly in purple like Chase and Nacua, are the best picks on the board, especially if they have a purple archetype label of multi-time prime wide receiver 1s like Chase, Puka, St. Brown, Lamb, Jefferson, London, Collins, and Higgins. Guys who are under age 29 with multiple seasons of wide receiver 1 production are extremely likely to hit. Anyone in green or yellow with the prime wide receiver one green label or breakout candidate tags are your secondary targets. JSN, Pickens, Rice, Smith, Olave, Flowers, Neighbors, Igbuka, Garrett Wilson, McConkey, and Waddle. You can take them as much as you love them, but they are a little bit less likely to hit than the guys I talked about already. AJ Brown, Burden, and J-Mo are in green and yellow, but for one reason or another, they have the lower end archetype that we're not looking for. And the guys that I'm just not as much of a fan of and kind of my fades in this area, Tetteroa McMillan, Terry McLaurin, Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, and DJ Moore, because they're trusty veterans. The guy that I like the most there is T-Mac because he's young, but also Adams because he's on the best offense. And if we look specifically in that wide receiver clump in the mid rounds, because I'm sure everybody's gunning for the next George Pickens or the next Chris Olave, you guys can see that the guys that are in green further down the board, like Garrett Wilson, Waddle, and Brian Thomas Jr., should be priority targets for you in this range. Then we want to hunt for the following. Who's in green or yellow with a green label of prime wide receiver one, a yellow breakout candidate label with proven wide receiver two production, or prime wide receiver twos? And that leaves us with J-Mo, Watson, Quentin Johnston, Michael Wilson, and Michael Pittman as great values. These are guys that are going to fill out your wide receiver depth in rounds 5 through rounds 9. The breakout candidate with orange archetypes means that they're unproven. They've never done it before. They've never at least been wide receiver twos in fantasy before. So if you're going to take Luther Burden, Romo Dunze, Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, Marvin Harrison, or Mekhi Lemon, they can smash, of course, if they break out, but be wary that like 60% of these guys will probably disappoint you. And then probably beware of anybody with the trusty veteran archetype or anybody in red. Moving into the tight end strategy. Now, with the full house, you guys might have noticed. Well, if you're going 3 running backs and 2 wide receivers in the first 5 rounds, you might be asking, doesn't that mean you're not going to take Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, or Colston Loveland, even if they fall to you? And the answer is yes. Unless they fall to me at a ridiculous value, I am not drafting these players. And it's for 3 reasons. Because for these guys to pay off at their price tag, they need to be far and away the best tight end in fantasy, which is reliant on the other 2 guys not being good or busting like Bowers and some of the early round tight ends did for McBride to do it last year. Number 2, they need to outproduce the wide receivers and running backs going around them in ADP. And number 3, there can't be any league winners later on in the board or off of the waiver wire, which I generally don't think will happen because tight end is a deeper position this year. And as you can see by this chart on fantasy points, tight end league winners in rounds 10 through 17 produce the highest league winner rate of any fantasy position or tied for it with running back and defense. So part of the full house strategy is that we're fading tight end. And the reason we're doing it is because, as you guys can see here, the first 8 tight ends in the league winning tight end video scored green or higher. Guys like Kelsey, Kittle assuming health, Andrews, Jake Ferguson, and Pat Freiermuth scoring pretty well later down the board. And then breakout candidates like Kincaid, Likely, Gadsden, Sadiq, and Terrence Ferguson, I also really like late. What I'm doing at the tight end position, the TLDR version here, is that I'm fading it until at least round 8 or 9. Maybe if somebody falls to me like a Laporta or a Fannin or a Pitts, I'll take them. But generally, I'm comfortable taking, say, Jake Ferguson round 11 and grabbing Kenyon Sadiq in round 14 and seeing which guy ends up being a good tight end for me. And worst case scenario, I churn the waiver wire and look for Jawan Johnson last year or Harold Fannin last year. One of the most underrated things about tight end as well is that you can often trade for them pretty easily because they don't score the most fantasy points of any fantasy position. So when you have more information by week 4 or week 5 and you can see who the positional advantages are, maybe it's Warren having a breakout season, Loveland having a breakout season, and so on, you can trade for them at that point in time. So for me, I am not drafting tight ends early. I'm going to take 2 stabs late or churn the waiver wire, worst case scenario, but I do not mind the Laporta, Pitts, and Fannin range there. The quarterback position. Late round quarterback is optimal in 2026. You should play chicken with your league mates. See how hard you can fade the quarterback position relative to them, because I have a good feeling that in most fantasy leagues, people will recognize that late round quarterback is the best strategy. So if you're taking a lot of running backs and wide receivers early, let's say you have 4 running backs and 4 wide receivers through the first 8 rounds, you've bypassed Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and so on, and somehow Caleb Williams, Drake May, Hurts, Herbert, or Daniels fell to you in round 8 or 9, I'm okay taking them at that point in time because your starting lineup and into your bench is already filled out. However, failing that, my primary plan is to just take somebody from round 9 through 12 in ADP because I love some of the guys going in that territory, whether it's Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Matthew Stafford, Bo Nix, or Jared Goff. That is the honeypot to drafting your quarterbacks. As you can see by this chart, rounds 11 through 13 have produced a lot of league-winning quarterbacks, and Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points has noticed two specific trends in late-round quarterbacks, guys who play for Kyle Shanahan, McVay type of schemes. So Herbert, Lawrence, Purdy, Stafford, Goff, Kyler, Love, and Baker Mayfield would all qualify, or guys who run the ball, and some of those guys do both. Herbert, Lawrence, Purdy, Kyler, and Baker, to name a few of them. It's important to know that like four different fantasy quarterbacks have made up the majority of the league-winning seasons early: Allen, Hurts, Lamar, and Mahomes. They're all still in their primes, and if you can get them at a discount, specifically the cheapest one of that group being Mahomes, Hurts being the second cheapest, you might get a league-winner season out of these guys because they've proven it time and time again. But when quarterback is as deep as it is, and rounds 8 through 11, the wide receivers and running backs are dog shit going off the board, you might as well wait to take your quarterback then, especially knowing that you can just take your stacking partner as well. Let's say you take Amon-Ra St. Brown in the first round. You can just go in the back of your mind, I'm going to take Jared Goff in round 11 if all else fails me. Just feel out these two positions, guys. Tight end and quarterback are not that tricky this year when you just understand that the fail safe is to fade both of them. If one of them falls to you at a great value, by all means, take the falling value of Sam Laporta at the 7-12, or take the falling value of Jalen Hurts at the 801. But generally speaking, you're not going to draft both of them early, and you're also only going to draft one of them probably by round 8 or something like that. So we are now going to get into the mock draft. I'm going to be doing a mock from the one slot because that's where I'm picking in my home league. One quarterback, PPR, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, two flex. We do have a 0.5 first downs to tight ends and running backs and big play bonuses. I'm not going to factor that in too much for this mock because I want to make sure all of you guys get the most value out of this that you can. I should make mention to the draft overlay, the in-draft assistant. You can go to the settings tab and load in a custom draft sheet for your specific league settings, and it will automatically adjust my rankings and all other site expert rankings to that. So let's get into the draft itself. I am going to be picking, like I said, from the 101, and we will be taking the 101 in our rankings and in most people's rankings, Jahmyr Gibbs. The only tiebreaker for me is that he has the better offense, the better infrastructure for those 20 plus touchdown per season type of numbers versus him and Bijan Robinson. But both of them are equally elite running backs. As you guys can see, the running back position is going to fire off the board fast and furious. So now I'm back on the board. And as I made mention to, most of the players that I would have, you know, coveted are now off of the draft board. And the problem with picking at the 101 is obviously it's awesome to get Jahmyr Gibbs and to get Bijan Robinson. But unfortunately, the running backs are going to be picked clean off the board after that. So Derrick Henry, Walker, Love, all these guys go off the board, leaving my best available player per my rankings to be Rashee Rice and Nico Collins. So as I'm trying to run the full house strategy, I have two options here. I can either take Rashee Rice and Nico Collins, who are my two highest rated players, and most experts on the site would recommend that I take Nico Collins, so I'm going to do that. And then my next pick, do I want to go in the direction of taking Rashee Rice because he's my highest rated player, or do I want to go in the direction of maybe taking Kyren Williams, where I can actually start my draft with two running backs, and then I'm not pigeonholed to take two running backs at the 4-5 turn to fill out that full house strategy? Again, you could go either direction on this decision. I am actually going to opt to go for Kyren Williams because I feel a lot more comfortable tie-breaking to Kyren Williams here versus a better valued ranked wide receiver in the fourth and fifth round. Taking two running backs at that turn, I just don't think the best two players on the board will be running backs. So I'm going to opt for a very similar projection here. Kyren Williams is a guy that I'm very high on. A lot of people are concerned about him because of Blake Corum. I generally think that Kyren Williams, a top 10 running back in three straight NFL seasons, will be just fine and will be the starting running back as long as he is fully healthy. And we'll see what falls back to us at the turn. On the sleeper platform specifically, Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle, and some of these guys do slide. Zay Flowers, Igbuka, some of these guys are still on the board. So Igbuka and Flowers go off the board. Now, if Jaylen Waddle falls to you, I might just take the gift that was given to me because, and I'm glad I did this, right? Because if I was both needing two running backs here to run out the full house, I wouldn't be able to take the sliding Jaylen Waddle value. So I'm going to grab Jaylen Waddle with one of these picks. And then to get my third running back to complete my full house, my highest rated running back on the board is Quinshon Judkins. And Quinshon Judkins in a full PPR might lose a little bit of value, whereas, you know, Cam Scataboo catches a little bit more passes than him. So you could really go in either direction there. Again, if you would go with Scataboo, you can obviously go with Scataboo. I believe a lot in the talent of Quinshon Judkins because I think the Browns have redone their offensive line completely. They drafted a first-round tackle. They added a bunch of guys in free agency. And I love what they're saying about Judkins. I think he's going to touch the ball 300, 350 times this season. And volume can be king at running back, especially when you're playing one in your flex with that kind of volume upside. So again, if you disagree with those rankings, you can take whatever players you like at the pick the most. But of course, in our draft guide, all of our rankings are there. And of course, on the actual draft overlay here itself. And we also have this for ESPN and for Yahoo. So if you guys are on those platforms, you'll see that as well. Based on the board right now, you can see that all of the experts pretty much are recommending that I take Jadarian Price, which... do I want to go with four straight running backs or four running backs in the first six rounds and run the robust RB? I definitely could because, you know, the receivers that I have, Nico Collins and Jaylen Waddle, are both respectively number one receivers for their team. I think I can get value in the mid rounds at wide receiver. Like I said, with tight end and quarterback, I'm not even really considering those positions, although Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams being on the board is definitely notable if you didn't like some of the guys here. But I'm trying to win my flexes, man. I'm trying to win my championship with high-end running backs, and I think it's a great year to swing on them. So I'm going to take Jadarian Price, the first-round running back of the Seattle Seahawks. My next highest-ranked players, according to my rankings, are actually Caleb Williams, Sam Laporta. I could go in the direction of like a Tony Pollard or a Michael Pittman. Do I want to grab the receiver here, or do I want to double-tap receiver at the next pick, knowing that quarterback and tight end will probably dry up? Again, I already have my starting lineup filled out. It's six rounds in, and I've drafted four running backs and two wide receivers. I feel confident that round 8, 9, 10, and probably 11, too, wide receivers are going to be plentiful. So I am going to deviate for an elite onesie at quarterback or at tight end. Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are on the board, which are very enticing. I could go in that direction. I could go with Sam Laporta as well, who I think has every bit the upside that Warren, Kraft, Fannin, and Loveland have off the board before him. So that is the direction I'm going to go. I'm going to grab an elite tight end or a guy that I think has elite upside at tight end in Sam Laporta, and we're going to see what falls back to us for the rest of this draft. Caleb Williams off the board, Jaden Daniels off the board. Hopefully we get a falling Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence. We could go in that direction with this pick, or we could continue to punt quarterback beyond to the 10-12, where most of our league mates, if we're looking at the board, have already taken quarterbacks, right? So there's probably not a huge incentive for me to take a quarterback here unless I find a screaming value, which I do here, because I see both Trevor Lawrence and Patrick Mahomes on the board. I'm going to grab Michael Pittman because I do want one receiver at this turn for sure. And then what I'm going to do after that is grab Trevor Lawrence, because with Liam Cohen in year two, with Brian Thomas Jr. hopefully back healthy this year, with Travis Hunter back healthy this year, the hype that Parker Washington's getting and the steady Eddie nature of Jacoby Myers, I just feel so good about getting Trevor Lawrence at the 901. I think that Trevor Lawrence could easily outscore Burrow, May, Hurts, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. He'll outscore some of those guys, I bet. So it's good that I waited on my quarterback and was able to get him in the honeypot I talked about in the strategy section. So I already have my tight end and quarterback. So now it's kind of time to catch up at the receiver position. My highest rated player in general is Jonathan Brooks. As you guys can see here, most of the site experts recommending that I take him. I think I am going to take him with one of these two picks. But my other highest rated players, Josh Downs, Rashad White, Deebo Samuel, Casey Concepcion, those types of players. I'm going to grab Josh Downs. He's getting a lot of hype that he's going to play more in two wide receiver sets. And then I'm also going to grab Jonathan Brooks at the 11-01. I don't think you're going to get him here in any sharp league. He'll probably go in the eighth or the ninth round, but I will take the falling value on sleeper. And again, it's important to do both of these things. Draft on the platform you're drafting on, which for me is Sleeper in this case, and also do mock drafts on flockfantasy.com, because on flockfantasy.com, you can do mock drafts against the expert rankings and get a better feel for a sharper draft room. But if your league mates are a little bit more casual, and I assume most of the people watching this video have more casual league settings and league mates, you can just draft based kind of off the Sleeper ADP for a lot of your mocks, and you're going to more often than not like some of the values that you're getting. So Deebo Samuel, Travis Hunter, some of my highest rated receivers. I think by the time people are drafting in late August, Deebo Samuel will not be available with this pick. So I am going to go with Travis Hunter, mainly because I'm talking about a bench player at this point in time. I have his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. So if things go well for Travis Hunter, Lawrence would be a huge beneficiary of that. And also too, like, I think Hunter is just an extremely high ceiling player. And in redraft, if he's on my bench, I don't have to do anything with him until I know more information. I don't have to drop him until I know if he's a full-time receiver. I don't have to start him because I have plenty of other receivers ahead of him. And then I'm also going to grab another upside swing here in Deebo Samuel with Ricky Pearsall going down for the year and also Mike Evans being Mike Evans and always being at risk of injury himself. I think it's possible Deebo Samuel could be a bigger part of this offense than people realize. So I really love the way that my team is coming together. We'll take a look at the roster at the end of the draft, but this is looking awesome. And I will show at the end of the draft as well some examples of some mock drafts on Flock Fantasy to give you guys an idea of running the full house strategy, A, from different areas of the board, and B, in sharper draft rooms. Because if you do mock drafts on Sleeper exclusively, you're going to realize that the ADP is pretty trash and you're going to get some great values there. So looking at the rest of the positions, I am so deep at running back. I have five guys that I feel really, really good about. So I'm going to bypass some of the upside running backs late to go with an upside wide receiver late. Is Tank Dell still on the board? Because he is one of my highest rated players. And in fact, if I go to the wide receiver position, him and Trey Tucker are both my highest rated players. Trey Tucker's a guy that could be an integral part of the Raiders offense because they don't have a ton of other receivers. So let's collapse this draft assistant here. And we'll show you guys what the team ended up looking like. So as you guys can see in the first, you know, draft that I did here to showcase my league settings, I go with the full house start, Jahmyr Gibbs, Kyren Williams, Quinshon Judkins. I grab my two anchor receivers, Nico Collins, Jalen Waddle. I feel so good about this receiver core, even though I like faded receiver. Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Travis Hunter, Deebo, and Trey Tucker. I feel confident that I'm at the very least going to have my two receivers every week in my two receiver spots and probably a guy to compete in my flex with Jadarian Price, especially early in the year. Maybe I need to use Pittman right away while Jadarian Price gets accustomed to the NFL. Lawrence and Laporta, if you draft tight ends in the first or quarterbacks in the first 10 rounds, I'm probably not taking a second one. So I feel good about those guys. If they fail, I'll stream the waiver wire. I do want to make you guys aware of a couple of other mock drafts from different areas of the board. So if you guys are picking at the end of the board as opposed to early in the board, this isn't exactly a full house strategy, but it is kind of a prototypical double hero RB strategy. You can get your anchors in Chase Brown and Hampton early, fill out your wide receiver cores, backfill with Jonathan Brooks and Tyrone Tracy. And again, this mock was done on flockfantasy.com where you can see you can draft against different ADP values. I did against the Yahoo and the experts here. This mock draft, a different example, but from the 102, you can see another full house with Bijan, Kyren, and Bucky Irving, different receiver anchors, but again, similar strategy beyond that, drafting a lot of wide receiver depth. From the middle of the board with Christian McCaffrey as the anchor, you can see I get Collins and Rice as my anchor receivers, Bucky Irving and Henderson kind of my upside swings at the running back position for my full house. And then I did take a sliding Joe Burrow at the 608, but then I backfilled with a bunch of receivers, grabbing Jake Ferguson late and backfilling there. And then I'll show you one more mock from me in the middle end of the board. In this one, I go with kind of a robust RB where I grab James Cook, Devon Achane, Javonte Williams. Again, you could have taken T. Higgins or Jalen Waddle there to go with the prototypical full house, but I wasn't expecting Bucky Irving to fall back to me, so I was intending on doing my receivers with 4 and 5, and then I backfill with Marvin Harrison, Michael Pittman, Casey Concepcion, Shakir Dell, and so on. Again, fading the quarterback and tight end position to Laporta at the 709 and Bo Nix at the 1004. So as I made mention to at the beginning of the video, if you got some value from this video, leave a like down below, subscribe to the channel. If you guys are new around here, we're trying to get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the calendar season. I exposed my entire league strategy. All the people of the Flock League, all the people in my home league got to see exactly what I intend to do. Please do not let that go in vain. Please leave a comment, subscribe, like the video. And if you want to support us and you want to get our draft guide to help you win your fantasy football championships, you can get it one of two ways, either by signing up on Underdog using code FSE, making a play on the site, you'll get it in your email inbox within 24 hours of your first play. Or if you've already used that promo before, you've already signed up on Underdog before, you can tell a friend about Underdog, or you can get it with our season pass. That'll give you the live draft assistant, the custom draft sheets, and all that stuff as well. If I were in your position, I absolutely would take advantage of those promos because it is the cheapest, most cost-effective way to win your fantasy football leagues. And you'll be covered with the season pass and the draft guide promo into the season because you're going to get our weekly start set rankings, our rest of season rankings, and that kind of thing. So that is linked down below for you guys in the pinned comment. Appreciate you watching to the end if you guys did. If you made it to the end, comment down below. Let's win a championship, and I'll talk to you guys soon.